Three, it turns out, is the most important number, at least when it comes to media trends. Three of anything is worth paying attention to. It's the beginning of something more than a fluke and the start of a bona fide story, as Bob Garfield of WNYC's On the Media found out.
In Tennessee, a home gardener named Rita is using a syringe to inject her zucchini with an organic pesticide. Bob, an aquarium culturalist, feeds his water fleas by syringe injecting pureed zucchini into a 55-gallon drum. And a mom named Christy tells her friends at babycradle.com that she uses the same technique to feed strained zucchini to her spoon-averse baby son. Yes, in one of the hottest trends of the new millennium, everywhere you turn nowadays, zucchini and medical syringes are turning up together. You know, or not. I actually found those examples by doing an internet search for the random combination of zucchini and syringe. The results were almost exclusively about organic gardening, but with a little selective editing, by the generally accepted practices of journalism, the zucchini-syringe marriage constitutes a bona fide trend.
It sounds like a cliche to say three things makes a trend, but that really is kind of the rule of thumb we look for.
Kim Willis is a features editor at USA Today, which has divined trends in premarital cohabitation, sport fishing, raw food diets, teen oral sex, men wearing engagement rings, and thousands of other phenomena, real and hyped, for which the rule of three is the guiding principle, if not the actual definition.
We don't think, great, we found three examples, we can write a story. It's more, if we can't find three examples, this is really a trend.
Well, good for them. But of course, in a universe in which trillions of events occur in each fraction of a second, three favorable examples, or four or 4,000, don't necessarily mean anything. Yet journalists persist in extrapolating dubious trends from isolated anecdotes, demonstrating not a trend, but an immutable constant, the media's ongoing love affair with the fallacy of favorable enumeration. In fact, never mind the rule of three, journalism is the only place in the physical universe where one point can determine a line. Jessica Lustig is editor of Details magazine.
What we are trying to do is be entertaining and be timely and respond to things that we're sort of picking up in the culture. And you're right, there's something a bit made up about them. And what that is taking some scrap of data or information from the news or from cultural mood and then carrying it farther.
So, for instance, when somebody at Details noticed a gigantic Calvin Klein billboard prominently featuring in sharp, skimpy underwear relief a man's bulging genitalia,
we ran a piece wondering if this was going to provoke a kind of anxiety in men, a sort of self-consciousness that's been more associated with women till now and has resulted in all sorts of industries like, say, the Wonder Bra to respond to that anxiety.
So what happens when a magazine like Details, ostensibly the periodical of record for all that is hip and happening, decides that the world is ready for Wonder Pants? Well, one thing that happens is that the alleged trend may soon be embraced uncritically by other news organizations, who do their trend spotting not in the wild, but in the pages of other publications, creating a lost in the funhouse parallel universe of media-validated unreality. USA Today's Kim Willis worries about that all the time.
Because if In Style has written about it, and the Wall Street Journal has written about it, and then USA Today has written about it, then it's this huge trend and everyone in America is doing it. But often, you know, what's happening is one paper or magazine is seeing the other one's story and then saying, well, gee, maybe we should check this out.
Oddly, media hype isn't especially influential in the proliferation of genuine trends, according to author Malcolm Gladwell.
I think mass media can induce very transitory, ephemeral changes. But if you want to generate real fundamental transformation of behavior, speech, thought, anything like that, I think you need to have the kind of face-to-face, person-to-person, true viral transmission.
Gladwell's book, The Tipping Point, investigates that moment of critical mass when an extremely localized fashion or fad begins behaving like a communicable disease, infecting the general population. This, he says, happens independently of the media. What genuine trends and bogus trends do have in common, though, is their provenance in a tiny percentage of the population.
You read those stories, and when they proclaim a broad trend, you understand that what they're saying is that this is the kind of thing that those of us who would like to emulate the lifestyles of the approximately 1,000 people who we're describing in the story, you know, this is what they're doing, and do with that information as you will.
The hip obsessed, in other words, writing about the truly hip for the wannabes of hipness. Journalist Michelle Goldberg has played the game herself.
As a freelance writer, I understand why writers create these stories, especially people who aren't staff writers, because it's so easy to sell. And so if you need to make a paycheck, you need to just, it's kind of like playing that game Concentration or something. You need to find three matching things and put them together, and you kind of create the narrative around that.
But Goldberg also sees the dangers. Apart from the obvious risk of misrepresenting reality, I mean, are men really rushing to wear engagement rings? There's the more pernicious danger of ignoring significant trends by obsessing on superficial, trivial ones. This was brought home to her while surveying major newspapers for their economic coverage in the wake of 9/11.
I was absolutely stunned. One of the first cover stories about this economic mess in the New York Times Magazine is about the future of Gucci. Meanwhile, you have to dig to see that homelessness is skyrocketing in this country. You see proportionally much, much, much less feature coverage of how people are dealing with, say, losing a job of 30 years and finding themselves on food stamps than you do with the shattered dreams of a 24-year-old who can no longer get a $50,000 a year job for making flash animations.
Maybe that's because trend spotters are perpetually in search of something hot. And there is nothing hot about lost service industry jobs. Unfortunately, there is a fundamental disconnect between serious exploration of societal problems and the glib pursuit of hotness. The pitiful fact is, it's hard for many publications to consider the unemployed, for instance, unless they're kneeling in their backyards, tending to their tiny home gardens, shooting up their zucchinis.
Bob Garfield is the co-host of NPR's On the Media.